we're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Pekidai. A word from the Rechaim HaKudosh. A bekannte word. The Rechaim HaKudosh says, V'yasi b'nai Yisroel. And we see that Melech HaMishkan was considered, it was a collective work of b'nai Yisroel. It's being referred to as all of b'nai Yisroel made the Mishkan. Now when you think about it, L'choira only Betzalel and the Chachma Leib were the ones doing it. He says that the Pusik is teaching us a Moridiga lesson when it comes to clueless Kiyam HaTorah. When Klal Yisroel work together and everyone's doing whatever they could, that's how they make a Nachas Riach for Hashem. When it comes to the Tariq Mitzvahs, it's not possible that any Yid could be Mekayim all Tariq Mitzvahs. All 630 Mitzvahs. For some of them you have to be a Kohen, for some of them you have to be a Levi, for some you have to be a man, for some you have to be a woman, for some you need all different conditions. Forget about today. A separate discussion that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. But how is it even possible for somebody to be Mekayim all Tariq Mitzvahs and have the tikkun that he needs for all Ramach HaEvurim and Sugidim? So the Torah is teaching us that when we do it all together, and each one is mezakeh the other one, that's considered as all Klal Yisroel doing it together. It's for everyone. The Kohen does what he has to do, and the Levi has to do what he has to do, and the men and the women, and like this, everyone's working together. It was considered as if they were all doing it, because this one brought the neduva, this one did the work, and this one gave the chizik, and Klal Yisroel was working together. And this is a general method, the way Klal Yisroel was Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs. When it comes to a Yiddish Shtiv, when it comes to B'nish Leishtai, when it comes to a husband and wife working together, when it comes to a couple, there's a lot of things that have to go together, and a lot of things that should go together. There are a lot of things, whenever I talk about the idea of boundaries, I talk about mine, yours, and ours, there are a lot of things that should be ours, and should be teamwork, and we should be doing together. And sometimes people get resentful when they realize, hey, I'm doing too much of this on my own. Or I'm initiating too much of this on my own. We should be going on vacation together. We should be taking walks together and spending time together, right? We should have quality time together. We should be investing in our children together. We should be taking care of different issues of the home together. And sometimes somebody feels like, how come I'm always the one that's either doing it or bringing it up or making it happen? And if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. How come my wife never asks me, to spend time together? How come my husband never tells me that we should be, working, helping our children with their learning or whatever, with different things? Why, when it comes to a Shabbos meal, do I have to be the one to engage the children in repeating what they learned in Chayder in school? And the answer is that sometimes, in order for something to be a teamwork, it needs someone to do more of it. For whatever reason, not because the other one is exempt or less capable, but it's just how it is. And just like in Torah Mitzvahs, where that has to be how it is, because not everyone is capable, but it ends up turning into a teamwork that we're all doing things together, and sometimes it's one doing more than the other, and it's happening all at once. And I think it's so important to realize that, if you're going to wait around for everyone to do theirs, and you're going to be afraid to do any more than someone else, instead of taking charge and initiating and feeling good that together we're doing the right thing, even though I was the one that had to keep on bringing it up and promoting it and making it happen and things like that, sometimes people get stuck. Well, if you don't, then I won't, and it just never happens, and everyone ends up losing out. This is especially true when it comes to sensitive topics, but I'm saying even just in general, it's important to understand that almost with every couple, I should say, almost with every couple, there's going to be those topics or areas that really should be more teamwork and more evenly divided. And yeah, there's always going to be someone taking care of it. There's always going to be someone taking more care of it. I'm not talking now about where we argue and debate about who should be doing more. So even when it's understood that this is something that really should be shared territory, at the end of the day, somebody will have to bring it up again and again. If not, it just will be forgotten and pushed to the side. And instead of getting resentful and saying, well, if you don't remember, then I'm not going to remember, and everyone loses out, it's best to understand that let's make this a Vayasi B'nai Yisroel project, even if I'm really doing more of it. So with that, let me read a question. And this question has come up in the past more than once. I've said Shirim on this, and I remember when the question came in, I did respond to the writer, to the one writing this, with a certain link to a Shir that I said about this already once. I just have the number here. It was class 86495. I don't remember right now which one it was, but if anyone was looking at Torah Anytime, you can see it on my lectures with that number, 86495. But let me start all over again. Each time it's presented a little differently, and the answer is probably a little different, along the same lines and rules. So let's just go ahead with this. Hi, Rabbi Gruen. First, I would like to thank you for your wonderful shiurim. I listen to both the Yiddish and English weekly shiurim on Torah Anytime, especially those on Shulam Bayis. I am Baruch Hashem married to a very caring wife, and we have a busy shtib with several children bli ein hora. However, intimacy is where I struggle because my wife never initiates, which makes me question who's doing who the favor here. Is she just being a good wife and fulfilling this task like all other tasks, which she could do without? Or is it like I was taught, that there's a chi of oina as the wife wants intimacy more than the husband can imagine? This has caused me to initiate less and less because I don't want to burden her. Nor does it feel too pleasurable if I'm constantly doubting whether it's the right thing. However, it's also causing me to feel lonely, frustrated, and unfulfilled. What could I do to improve the situation? Looking forward to hearing you addressing this at Ashir. Thanks. Okay, so I'll start by saying that this is definitely a sensitive topic. And whenever I talk about these topics, I always say that it's a sensitive topic and not easy to discuss. Whenever I talk about sensitive topics, I always get a certain amount of feedback in different directions. But I know that many people don't discuss these things, and that's why there's a lack of understanding. And people definitely get very passionate or resentful about anything sensitive, but it's still important to try to give some ideas that I hope will be helpful. It's interesting, just by way of introduction, this is definitely an adult. I hope nobody's going to get offended by what I'm going to say. I don't mean anything in an offensive way. I'm just saying what this brings up in my mind. It's like an adult topic that's often dealt with a childish attitude, let's call it. I remember, I must have repeated this in the past, I remember when I was a kid, I once visited a certain shul. Not that it had anything to do with that shul, it just, this is how it stuck on my mind. I'll never forget this, I don't think. And I remember the Gabbai was machabed somebody with a certain nigen, Bashal Shidis. Chabed, start the nigen. And this guy, instead of, I don't know what the issue was, but instead of starting the nigen, instead of starting a tune, he just started saying the words. And the Gabbai said, hey, you're not starting a nigen, so he's machabed someone else. The next guy started a nigen, and everyone sang along. The first guy was all broigus, all upset. What do you mean? He's machabed me. Now why machabed him? And turned into a whole major fiasco before Marev and after Marev. Everyone was up with it. Did he do the right thing? Did he not do the right thing? Machabed another person. Did he machabed? I remember when I was a kid, and I was thinking to myself, seriously? These are tatis, you know? These are adults. I mean, but in my chayder, we fight about these things, you know, in my classroom, of course. This one, that one. But I wasn't expecting people age 20, 30, 40, and to me, from 20 and up, was already huge. You know, people that age fight about these things, but he was machaber, he wasn't machaber, he meant anything. I'll never forget that. Now, as I'm older, I'm over 20 years old already, and I realize, especially dealing with people every day, you'd be surprised. You think that it's a childish thing to argue and to get insulted, to get offended, and to have all kinds of conflict. It's not, nothing to do with children. Nothing to do with children. It's an emotional thing. It doesn't have to make any sense. Children look at it maybe like it's a childish thing, and that with the right amount of logic and understanding and intelligence and maturity, it just flies away. It doesn't work like that in real life. But one of the issues where, on the one hand, it's a real adult topic, is obviously the issue of intimacy, very sensitive issue. But I wonder what children would think if they would, you know, obviously, it's not for children, this whole topic, but I'm saying just to realize that, you know, the way it's presented sometimes. I want, or she wants, or maybe she doesn't want enough, he doesn't want enough. If he would say, then I would say, but he doesn't say. And sometimes it's like the tune of it is somewhat of a childish tune. Now again, no offense. I understand that this is personal and sensitive and emotional. And by now that I'm older, I understand there's nothing to do with children. It's just interesting how adults, when it comes to these things, take it very personally. And you hear things that people wouldn't be saying, you know, in other areas. You know, when talking about Shalchmanis, you don't talk like that. I wanted to give him Shachmanas, but he didn't ask me for Shachmanas, so I stopped giving him, and he stopped giving me. You hear it sometimes, but not as much. When it comes to this, because of the intensity of the sensitivity and how personal people take this, it's so common. That's all I meant to say. It's so common to see adults dealing with this in a very sensitive way, and it would be silly to say, oh, come on, grow up, get over it. That's not how it works. Adults get very passionate about this, like children get passionate about the sandbox. So that's just, I hope my point is coming across. Now, let's just get a little more general first. Sometimes people go to a therapist or a marriage counselor, and the first thing they talk about is how is it in the bedroom, as if that's everything. And when that's no good, oh, I found the problem, you know. And sometimes people have the other extreme attitude of, oh, it's nothing. Let's not get into that. The main thing is just the emotional connection that could be put on hold for years. It doesn't really affect anything. I think both are grossly overdone. Whenever people go to either of those extremes, reminds me of the story, probably repeated in the past, about two bochrim that were learning Reishis Chochma, and they were learning Shara Gehenim, and one of them was getting very afraid. You know, look what it says in Rosh Chochma, Shara Gehenim. It's not a joke. You come up to Gehenim and it's very scary. And the other one kept on telling him, come on, it's not the way it says it. Don't worry. Don't take it so seriously. It's not, essentially, it's a shtait. You know, don't take it so literal. And they agreed they're going to go into the Rebbe. I think it was the Stalin Rebbe, the old Kalina Rebbe. And I've seen the story more than one, but the way I heard it originally was that it was Birch Kalina. And first, the one that was very afraid went into the Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, what to do? I'm learning Rosh Chochma. I'm getting phobias. I'm getting anxiety. I can't live like this. It's so scary. And the Rebbe calmed him down. He said, yeah, that's for Stein. Hashem has rachmonis, the tshiva, Hashem will take care of you, don't worry. You know. He calmed him down. So, he comes out of the Rebbe, and he's much calmer. And his friend sees him coming out with such a calm demeanor. He says, oh, you see, the Rebbe told him I'm right, huh? So he walks up to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I told him it's not like it says. You shouldn't be taking it so literal. And the Rebbe looks at him and says, no, it's not like it says. It's a lot worse than that. And that's what happens sometimes when people go to either extreme. Thinking that the Rosh Chochma is a terrible reality that we can't, that we live with every 10 seconds. It's something he tells someone, calm down. Don't take it like that. Thinking that, oh, it's nothing and we'll just take it easy. No. Don't take it like that either. When it comes to intimacy, when it comes to Dvarim Shemanish Leishtoy, it's very important to acknowledge that, on the one hand, it's very important. I don't think that it could be ignored, and for whatever reason, we're not up to it, we don't do that, or whatever, we don't take it seriously, it should be taken very seriously. It should be taken very seriously. Not a question. To think that it's everything, and that it's because of this that every other problem ever happened, and that when this will be taken care of, and this, and this, and this, and just harping, and talking, and going, and learning, and discussing, and obsessing, that's not what it is. So there's definitely a medium. Now it's very important to get that balance. Intimacy definitely is the glue of marriage, for lack of a better term. If a couple doesn't have a normal part of their life where they know how to connect like husband and wife the way the Eibishter wants, then at best, they're roommates, friends, associates, partners, but that's it. That's it. At the end of the day, this is the only thing that makes marriage unique to other relationships. Right? The only area which is designated specifically for marriage is this. So to say we'll put that on hold and just be a good couple, you're going to be at best good roommates and partners, and at worst, people that are coexisting and trying to co-parent or other kind of thing. It's a very important topic, not to obsess on. I think that is the only topic, but it's definitely an important topic. Another two extremes, to think that it's a very technical and practical issue, that it's just about how it's done or when it's done or thing, you know, just a very technical thing, and that's all it is, and let's not get stuck on any emotion and passion and whatever else, and let's just stop with all that. It's silly. Obviously, there's more to it. Obviously, it's not just a simple act, a simple behavior that you just have to do, and a routine, and a task, like you call it. And obviously, there's more to it. But then people get stuck on the other extreme. It has to do with the emotion and the comfort, and I don't feel good about it, and I have to feel this, and I have to feel that. And it's all about the emotion, it's all about everything else. So again, this is definitely where people get stuck. Where people get stuck on all these kinds of different attitudes, where people pull to any extreme, people get stuck. There's an old Yiddish saying, the erste Sache darf man sagen gesund, aber faden darf man oben panusa. You know, the first thing, you have to be healthy, but before that, you need money. Which is first? They're both first. You can't only have money and neglect your health. If you're not healthy, you don't have anything. You can't only be healthy and not have money, because without money, you have nothing. So they're both very important. For a couple to be intimate and know how to be intimate and not push it to the side is extremely important. And to have the emotional backing behind that is also extremely important. They're both very important. And neither of them should be on the expense of the other, or neglect the other, or neglect the entire topic, not a question. In general, people sometimes assume, and I've heard this many times, in Galat especially, telling me, oh, I didn't have a good chusin rebbe, I didn't have a good kal, my wife didn't have a good kal teacher, and if only somebody would tell her, if only she would read, if only she would hear, as if it's an educational thing, when things are lacking. Very often, I could say it's not an educational thing. And it's not only in this area, it's in a lot of areas. People say, my wife doesn't take care of the house. If only somebody would tell her. How many times did you tell her? 100 times. How many times did her mother tell her? Yeah, but it seems that somebody has to explain it. It's not about explaining. There's a difficulty, there's a challenge that we have to figure out what it is and get around. Very often, most often, I believe it's not an educational issue that somebody has to hear something. However, I know from hearing from people and getting feedback when I say this, sometimes it is. And many people have told me that I took this course and I heard this set of shirim and I spoke to this woman, and this kal teacher, and since then everything changed. So again, I'm trying to find the balance. To say it's an education thing, as if whoever heard a certain course has no problem anymore, that would be ridiculous. And I've heard people who tried every course and every method of education and still have problems. To think that there's nothing to learn, nothing to hear, and I know everything on my own and I don't have what to listen to, is also wrong. Now, I'm not going to suggest or recommend any courses, even though in the past when I talk about this, people send me emails, I think you should recommend this course, I took it, it was amazing. And there are courses that come in very highly recommended with very good results. For a few reasons, I can't get too specific, but anything you're going to try, make sure that it's Oiz Gehalten and Teuredik, and it has the Haskoma of a competent Das Teure, as well as your own Das Teure, who's going to tell you that it's the right thing to let yourself, or your wife, or both of you, be educated in a certain way that might be helpful. And sometimes that's what's necessary. Now, let me get a little more to what the question over here. You're mentioning over here that maybe it's a task, an obligation, and a favor. These are words that you're using. Who's doing who a favor, and maybe it's just a task, and etc. I heard this once from a Chusin Rebbe, who told me, a Chusin teacher, he told me that he tells his Chassanim always, this is one conversation you should never have with your wife. Never have this conversation of who's doing who a favor. It's a very emotional conversation, a very sensitive conversation, and it brings about a lot of hurt feelings. I can't say that the point is not to have the conversation, but I do understand the logic behind it, and I've heard where people get stuck on this and just talking about it in the hopes that maybe when I tell it to you, you'll prove me wrong or you'll understand the point, and people just get more frustrated and more hurt by the fact that, no, I asked you, you think I'm doing you a favor? You're doing me a favor. And you said, oh, now I'm doing you a favor. No, me a favor. I don't need it. You do need it. It's definitely something that doesn't bring good results when people get into these conversations and get stuck on the idea in general. In the Torah takeaway, the way the Chazal explained this, it's definitely a two-way street. So if anyone's getting stuck on who's doing who favors, it's definitely a two-way street. As a matter of fact, if either husband or wife decide that okay, I don't need the favor, and that's why I'm cutting off my end of this, it's grounds for divorce. It is. The Chazal say it, not me. Right? If a wife makes herself unavailable to her husband, or a husband makes himself unavailable to his wife, the other one has the right to come and say, listen, I want to get divorced. Now, if you think about it, if one is doing the other one a favor, then technically the one who's taking the favor should have the right to say, I don't need this favor anymore, right? But it doesn't work like that. And that's why it's important to both understand that it's not about who's doing who a favor, and it's not either one doing anyone a favor. You're both doing each other a favor. And you're both taking a favor. Some people have a bigger problem giving, some people have a bigger problem taking, but it's definitely a two-way street. It's true that some people are more comfortable initiating than others, and some people are more needy than others. It's not a question. There's definitely those who need more and need less, appreciate more, appreciate less, are brave enough to say it and more vulnerable, and those that are less. So whenever anyone finds himself in such a situation, don't get stuck on, oh, but I was told that it's going to be like this, and now it's like this. There's this, and there's that, and there's all kinds of different things, and it's generally not a reason to get very stuck and think that something's very wrong. There's still ways to push things forward in a healthy way without getting resentful or wondering, you know, why someone has a certain attitude or a certain passion or feeling or need or appreciation. Very often those who claim or show that they want less are simply less comfortable saying what they do want and just afraid of being rejected or being vulnerable, etc. So don't necessarily take everything face value. That's first of all. I did hear somebody say something interesting, which was that also somebody who deals with couples, he said that he was once dealing with a couple, again, it's very sensitive, I'm trying to say it the right way, dealing with a couple that were actually both addicts, both addicted to whatever kind of pleasures, let's call it. And you would think that, okay, so both are so passionate and both are so addicted, so now everything's going to be amazing, right? Because now we both want the same thing. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So just to think that if somebody would only have a little more feeling or a little more need or desire, that would be the answer. It's not always that way. So it's just important to understand that everyone has their own levels of comfort and desires, and often you work along with it. Now, the way to... I never found anything as healthy and helpful as a schedule. Now, if this would be my idea, people would say, yeah, but you're missing the emotional part of it, you know, schedule. You don't schedule when you're going to give someone a smile, right? It's emotional. You don't schedule when you're going to give your kid a hug, right? Because it's emotional, so you're going to, okay, 8 o'clock, come, I'll give you a hug. It sounds very intelligent, right? That you can't schedule something that's emotional. So let's start with the fact that the Torah definitely encourages a schedule. And you'd be surprised how helpful this is. I'm talking to people about this for a very long time. And one of the points that I bring out every time I hear people that don't have a schedule and get into these ruts of who asked for who, what, for what, from who, and who got rejected, and who got wanted, and who got hurt, and who got... It's all most often coming from not having a schedule. Automatically, it just becomes a touchy topic. Yeah? Who asks who, what, when? And I tell couples, imagine if your meals would not have a schedule. No schedule. No breakfast, lunch, or supper. You eat when you want. You have Shabbos meals when you want. You have as many meals Shabbos as you want, when you want, however you want. You could have a meal by the Zman. You could have a meal after davening. You could have a meal in the middle of the night. You could have one in the morning. But you could have no meals and all meals. You could have fleishigs and milchigs. Can you imagine what kind of chaos that would cause in a marriage? My husband wanted to eat milchigs. I wanted to eat fleishigs. He was eating at 10 a.m. and I was eating at 1. And we don't eat together. And we never get together for a suda or whatever. It would be chaotic. And when you think about it, as chaotic as it would be, I don't think it would be so bad. So you ate at 10 o'clock milchigs, he ate at 12 o'clock fleishigs, you ate again at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, and he's not eating again. And so what? Okay, so it's not terrible. You take a walk together, you won't eat together. I know it sounds ridiculous. My point is just that it's doable. It's doable. For some couples, that's what works. The whole week we don't eat together. Why? Because he comes home late and he eats at work. He works in the restaurant or whatever it is. Okay, not terrible, right? When it comes to intimacy, without a schedule, you're doomed. You can't do this on your own, right? So it's just important to realize that as important as a schedule is, and everyone realizes it is when it comes to food. Now food, by the way, is a very emotional thing, especially for Jewish people, right? The food, having a meal together, spending time together, how it's being served, and the attitude that's behind the meal. There's a lot of emotion in a meal for those who don't realize it. Anyone who's just giving food, you know, just like that and walking away, the Mishnah talks about it. You know, somebody who just brings a plate to his parents and it's not done with the recheretz, that's not COVID. It's not COVID. There's a way to present food. There's a way to do it. So the fact that it's emotional doesn't mean that it shouldn't be scheduled. Because how can I schedule to give you supper at 5 o'clock? What if I'm not in the mood? I'll be in the mood at 7 o'clock. Then I'll give you a nice supper with a smile. 5 o'clock, I can't do it that way. So we're going to cut out the supper at 5 o'clock? We're going to give supper whenever you're in the mood? And what if you get into the mood once a week? And what if I didn't treat you nicely enough and you're never in the mood, so I never get supper? My point is that having a schedule definitely takes care of a lot of painful areas around this that could have been avoided. So when there's bigger issues. But from the questioner, what I'm reading here is that, you know, she doesn't initiate, so I do, and then I get upset, then I don't, and then I stop, then I'm getting lonely. Whoa, one second. Well, if only you would have a normal conversation about this, not a conversation about who's doing who a favor, but bringing up a conversation about how could we figure out, you know, how to make this work, that we should understand each other. Now, in that conversation, by the way, it might be okay for you to share how you feel. In other words, as long as it's not a conversation just about venting and resentment and an argument about who should be doing what differently, let's have a conversation. I feel sometimes that if I don't initiate, you don't. And I'll be honest, it's hurtful. And I wish you would. And for some reason, either you don't want or you weren't taught to, or whatever it is, maybe we could have a schedule like this. I wouldn't have to feel like I have to ask you for a favor. You wouldn't have to feel, or at least I don't want you to have to feel obligated to come forward if you're not comfortable. Everything could be good. It might be a perfect opportunity to have a conversation and share some of your feelings because you're actually suggesting a solution, which very many people don't do when they bring up problems, which is a problem. Now, in terms of initiating, I'm not going to go into the idea that maybe your wife was taught as a kala that a woman is not supposed to initiate, be toyer maybe not, or whatever. It's not even the point. Initiation could be outside of a schedule if that's how you're taught and if it's necessary, etc. But you start with something that works, something that's set in place, something that makes people feel good. So I think that's something that should take care of a lot of this kind of resentment. Now, let's go back to something more general. I think anyone who's dealing with this knows, both on a personal level and anyone dealing with couples knows, that most often it's not this. It's not this. This topic is not where it started and where it ended. Very often, not always, but very often, there's something behind it. When there's resistance, and again, I'm not talking about this specific situation because I'm not hearing so much resistance even, but in general, when for whatever reason the Wurim Shminish Lish, the sensitive topics, become a little touchy, there's usually more to it. I'm not saying that there's only other things to it or that everything else has to be good and set up and organized and taken care of before we deal with the topic itself, but there's more to it. And if somebody's just going to get stuck on, you do want, you don't want, why don't you want, if you want, you said you want, you don't, I have to say, don't go there. And like I said before, even two people who are addicted to whatever it is will not necessarily understand each other when it comes to this because there's more emotions involved. And intimacy is an emotional thing. And the emotional component of it definitely should not be ignored. So my point is that you should not push off being together until we feel up to it and feel connected and feel good about it. And those who do that make a big mistake and a big disservice and a big avla one to another, saying we can't be together because I don't feel good about it. It's terrible. I'm saying it very clearly, it's terrible, and I've dealt with many such situations like that. Definitely a big mistake. But the focus of where you want to enhance your relationship and become closer with your wife or with your husband definitely doesn't start and end over there about when and how and who says what. That's not what it's about. It's definitely about understanding each other better. And in general, I'll get even more general, to run a relationship like a chess game, well, she didn't say, so I'm not going to say, and then you end up shooting yourself in the leg because you're not saying, and then you're getting resentful and lonely and hurt, right? To run a relationship like a chess game is never good for anyone. In any area. She didn't clean up, so I didn't clean up. Or she didn't do this, so I didn't. There's ways to make things better, and there's ways to communicate how to make things better. But just to get stuck on, but he did, so I did, or he doesn't call me, so I don't call him. Don't do that. First call, first do what you have to do, and then figure out how to make it even better, that you shouldn't be the one doing all of it. But it's definitely important to do your own thing, and then to try to get someone to work along as well. Very many people run life in general in a you did, I did, you said, I said. So if you don't, then I won't. And if you do, then I will. And if you do 10, then I'll do 10. If you do 20, I'll do 20. If you only do 5, I'll do 5. And they just hurt themselves. And they just make the bigger mistake by echoing somebody else's mistake and then turning it into a double mistake that causes damage to the relationship and to themselves. So to sum up what I said, I hope it's coming across clear, is that, yes, this is a sensitive topic. It's not the only topic there is, and it's not to be ignored either. Understanding it as favors and obligations of who's giving who what is generally a mistake. And it's okay if one person wants something more than the other person. All that is within the realm of normal. There's a healthy and a set-up attitude of how to have a schedule and have things done normally and know who should expect what of whom at what time. And yes, to work on the relationship in general, make sure you're feeling both close and connected, to make sure that when it does come to anything sensitive, there is the true connection and there is the true meaning behind it and there's the true passion for it, and everything else is definitely a better way to go. And like we started off with, you know, the idea of Ayasi Bnei Yisrael, there are things in relationship that really should be more teamwork. But if you do yours to get it running, instead of getting stuck on, but we should be doing this together, very often you'll be doing it for both of you. You're going to be putting in the work, you're going to be initiating, you're going to be starting, you're going to be... But you're doing it for both of you. Don't get stuck on, if you don't, then I won't. And then you're not going to have either of you what you can both have. So I hope in either self, with the right amount of understanding and communication about it, and setting it up toiretik and erlich, and working on everything around, and making sure that the relationship and the people in the relationship are feeling very good, and we can live together.